I'd like to speak about a nosei b'sof ha-parasha that we spoke about already a few times. Monday night, last night, yesterday morning, those that were present. Parashat Pinchas. We know the beginning of the parasha is about the kanois of Pinchas. But then the parasha goes and gets involved in all the different mishpachot. And then there's a problem. Mishpachat Tzlofchot ben Chefer ben Gilad ben Machir ben Menashe. The mishpachas Menashe ben Yosef. Yesh lo baya she'en lo ela banot. He only has daughters. V'tamoid lo efnei Moshe. And they said, Avinu meis b'midbar v'lo yalehem b'soicha eda. Yichetoy meis u'banim loy hayu loy. He didn't have any sons. As Maya Adin, what's going to happen? Because all his daughters, when they marry, they go into the next Nachla, they become part of the other family. So now what's going to happen to his Nachla? Vayakrev Moshe's Mishpotam Lifnei Hashem. Moshe, he brought their Mishpat, their quandary in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Hashem says, Kein Benois Tzlofcha Doivrois. Yoh. They're saying good. They came with a good taina, and they end up getting the nacha immediately afterwards. V'damer Moshe Hashem leimor yifkoid Hashem elokei aruchos lechol basar ish al ha'eda. Kodesh Baruch Hu has to put someone in charge of the people, in charge of the congregation. Asher yetzei lefneim v'asher yovoi lefneim v'asher yotziem v'asher yiviem. Someone has to be in charge. They shouldn't be like sheep without a shepherd. So what is the shaychus between these two parshios? Why are the smichus? Katuv b'medrash Rabba parshas Pinchas, perek chof aleph pasuk yud zayin, katuv. Ma'ro levakesh adover hazeh achar seder anachalois. Why did he mevakish this thing after Seder Nachlis? Ela kivan she yirshu b'noi slavchad avin amamoy sharei asho she'it ba'batzarchi. It's the time for me to be toivea, for me to request my needs. Im b'noi yirshu b'dinu she yirshu b'nei es kvoidi. If the daughters can be Irish, so my son should be Irish, my covid. Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no. B'necha yashvu lehem v'lo asku b'toira. Yeshua harbe sharascha, harbe cholak l'cha kavayit. V'y mashkum v'mar v'beis havad shalcha. Sh'y mesad, mesadar sal salais. Yeah. Therefore Yeshua ben Nun is going to become the right person to be your successor. As yesh po nose gadol, Bachroinim. Yesh po machloikes ben Chasam Sofer and also the Maram Shik. The Maram Shik is a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. And the Maram Shik argues on the Chasam Sofer, Lavin Ezer, as follows. Ma din. What's the halacha? If you have Rav who is as a position, and the Rav is going to retire. He has a son. And the son is maybe not as prominent as the father, but he's also a person that is a valid candidate for the Rabbanus. So, can the Kehila say, Tishma, we want to make a proper, we want to make a... you know, we want to go to try out lots of different people. Enochanami, you're a candidate, but there's also other candidates. Or not. What's the shaila? Ha'im yesh inyan shel Yerusha birabonus. Yerusha, we're familiar with, is Yerusha when it comes to Chosh Mishpat. Is Yerusha also in Rabbanus? Ha'im yesh kaze davar. Now this is clear, if the son is not worthy, he's bechlal, not shaykh to being a rav, right? He's bechlal, nowhere near there. Ein kaze davar. What happens if he's okay? Maybe he's not the father. Maybe there's other better candidates out there, but he's also worthy of the position. As a Chassam Sofer omer, shezeh b'diyuk ha-vikuach bein Moshe ve-Akadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want my sons to be yorish my position. And Akadosh Baruch Hu says, Slicha, Slicha ein Yerusha. No, no such thing as Yerusha. Moshe Rabbeinu's children, they could have been valid candidates. That's the way the Chassam Sofer learns. So says the Chassam Sofer from this Medrash, Ein Yerusha b'Rabonus. Fartig. If the son is the best candidate, he gets the position. They want to bring someone else in, Gerzunterheit. Their choice. Ivanta? Ma'am Shikome is a lot of shop in Medrash. This is the Kelvin Medrash. Ma'akolish Brochu Anala Moshe Rabbeinu. Kodesh Baruch Hu answered, and he said, "Banecha yashvu v'loy asku b'toira, Yeshua harbe sharzecha v'harbe chalak l'cha kavod." What was the Kodesh Baruch Hu answering Moshe Rabbeinu? Lu yehei, your children were worthy. Einoch anami, I would have given them the position, but banecha yashvu v'loy lamdu toira. So the Ramshik says, if you have a son, Lama Torah. Maybe he's not the father, but he's Lama Torah. So then he gets the position. There is Yerusha Baruchnius. Kodesh Baruch Hu was Moina Moshe Rabbeinu. Yesh Kazem Musag. But Banecha lo Yashuv Lamdu Torah. As Ma Sofera Chsam Sofer. Lo Lamdu Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu's children didn't learn Torah. Das Meidas. Chas V'Shalom. Says the Chsam Sofer. They learned Torah. They didn't learn like Yeshua ben. As Bo, we want to try the lavin, ishtadel lavin. According to the Chassam Sofer, is lamdu Torah. They came lamdu Torah, and they were worthy. As makatuf po that banecha lo lamdu Torah. What does that mean? So we said on Monday night. We said it means as follows: Moshe Rabbeinu's children, they learned Torah, but they weren't omel b'Torah. They didn't work hard. Sure, they were intelligent people. They learned. They could be even knew more than Yeshua. Moshe Rabbeinu says, my children, these people are very, very capable. They're capable children. They could be my Mamala Mokum, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but they didn't work hard. And we're going to give the Rabbanus to someone that works hard. Aye, they're also capable. There's no Yerusha in Rabbanus. And the better choice is the person that works hard. So Chassam Sofer learns, they were a decent choice. Right? So, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, we're going to choose the hard worker over the person that was born with natural talents. That's the Chassam Sofer's Pshat. The Maram Shik says, no. No, they didn't learn Torah. They were not worthy. These were people that were not worthy for the job. As Neshelat HaShela, they're not worthy for the job. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinking? What was Moshe Rabbeinu thinking? Moshe Rabbeinu was thinking like, my son should get the position. They're not worthy for the job. Why should he? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that. He overestimated his own children. As yesh po shnei mahalchim. Mahalach achat. One mahalach is as follows. What happened with Benoist Tzlafchad? Who is supposed to be Yoyrish? Who's a classic Yoyrish? A son. Ma matzav over here. Ain. We have no son. So what do we do be matzav she'ain? You go to the shvach Yoyrish. Shvach, Abba Yairish. Hazamer Moshe Rabbeinu, Tishma. I know my sons, Bishvach. But I see what happened with Benoist Tzlovchad, Ma'asu. We went Shvach. You go Shvach. What's going to happen? Kodesh Baruch Hu Siyat Tishmaya will take care of everything. Sometimes people get put into positions. And the schus of the Rabbim will help. You'll have Siyat Tishmaya. Okay, we have someone that's Roy over here. You have someone that can fill the shoes. Yeshua. Od mahalach shamati lo zochem imi. It could be it's from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I don't remember. Maybe we said the other hard thing from the Magal Amukas. Moshe Rabbeinu want to do the following thing. Listen, my position, says Moshe Rabbeinu, I was first of all the political leader of Klal Yisrael. And second of all, the spiritual leader of Klal Yisrael. Okay, my children are not roy for to be the spiritual leaders of Klal Yisrael. Let them be the political leaders of Klal Yisrael. Let them do that. They're definitely, you know, they're people that know what it means. They grew up in a house and they saw what it means to be a manig. So let them at least do that. They'll decide the military strategy. They'll decide the economical strategy. They'll take care of Klal Yisrael, all the other needs, the mundane needs of Klal Yisrael. Ma Kodesh Baruch Hu onelo? Kodesh Baruch Hu says, etzleinu en kaze davar. There's no such thing as someone in charge of, you know, all the gashmias, someone else in charge of the ruchnias. Whoever's going to take care of the ruchnias is the person who's going to decide also the gashmias. Who decides whether or not we go to battle? Das Torah. Who decides whether or not we do this type of work or that type of work? Das Torah. Everything has to be nikva al pi das Torah. Therefore, there's no makom for any other position. Moshe Rabbeinu thought, okay, at least give my children one position. Ain makom. So who ended up getting the position? Yoshua. The Maisa, Yoshua, we said, was kanireh, in a certain way, more fitting for the job than Moshe Rabbeinu's children. But even Yoshua, katuv b'medrash, katuv, Kodesh Baruch Hu, it says, nasata mehoidcha alav, katuv b'medrash mehoidcha v'lo kol hoidcha. Moshe Rabbeinu was like the Shemesh. Yeshua was kamo ayoreach. He was like the moon. Zakenim sheba isaydar amu oilonu loisa busha oilonu loisa chlima. What does that mean? It means it's embarrassing. We had a leader, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu. We had a Moshe Rabbeinu. Achshav oilonu loisa busha oilonu loisa chlima. Now we have to deal with Yeshua. So this is something we have to understand. What exactly is the pshat? The Zekenim Shosu Dorah kvetching. So one pshat that I heard was as follows. We might think that Yeshua was a downgrade from Moshe Rabbeinu because, you know, that's all we got. So we'll take what we got. But that's not the pshat. The pshat is that as the Dor itself changes, so it needs a different type of manhig, because there's a certain generation that can't anymore relate to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is too bright. You stare at the sun, you go blind. You can't relate to that. So you need somebody that's like a little bit lower. The light's dimmer. Someone that we can look at. Someone that we can relate to. Someone we can connect to. Yeshua was the perfect manik for the door. Perfect. Because Moshe Rabbeinu would have been too high for them. But that's for the younger generation. The Zakenim that were still from the previous generation, they still could have dealt with Moshe Rabbeinu. They were Moshe Rabbeinu's people. So they said, Oilonu loisai busha. For us, it's a busha to have Yeshua. Because we still should be connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. For the next generation, Yeshua is perfect. Because Baruch Hu chooses a manig, it's perfect for each generation. Chofetz Chaim says a different pshat. Says the Chofetz Chaim a whole different spin on this. He says, "What was the Kainim complaining about? Elon Eloise Busha. This pshat also I saw in the Sefer Peh Kodosh from Itzele Velojener, and he says the following thing. Who is Masbir al pi Mashal? There was a mashal in a town. It was a shtetl." It was a shtetl. And there was one guy in the shtetl who came up with this get-rich-quick scheme. Yeah, he decided, I'm going to get rich. He's got this whole plan. He's going to do this. So he was looking for an investor. He's looking for a partner. So he's going around town. And he's like, I got this plan. Everyone's laughing at him. Anyway, shtetl, you know what I mean? It's like, come on, you know, milk your cow and just leave it alone. And that was it. And he's going from person to person. No one's really interested. Finds one fellow. This guy says, okay, I'm in. I'm in. And part of the plan is they have to leave town. And they're away for quite a while, a few months, a few years. And they're coming back home. And the raid is that they struck it rich. They are big time. And they're coming back in, and the whole town comes out. It's a little town. Everyone comes out to greet them. And what a procession. It's unbelievable. First comes, you know, the mastermind of this whole thing. And he's got this carriage with these gorgeous white horses, six white horses, carriage made out of gold, and all the fine details, and it's like stunning. They're all standing there. Oh my goodness, it's amazing how rich this guy is. It's not normal, and everything, a whole procession of servants and everything, and they're like, wow. And his carriage comes through. And then comes his investor. Now, the investor's not as rich as the mastermind, right? But he's got a beautiful, you know, a beautiful carriage. And it's got some, you know, it has some gold on it, but it's primarily made of silver, beautiful big silver carriage. And it's got four, you know, horses. They're not as beautiful stallions, but they're nice horses, you know. But, you know, he's coming through the town and he sees that everyone's like, they're all jealous of him. So he stops his horses. Guys, listen. Just want to ask you a question. My stuff is not as nice as his stuff. Why are you jealous of me? And not of him? He's got the gold. He's got the... They said, hey. Listen. That guy, you know, our buddy, he had a good idea. He came up with a good plan. You know what I mean? So he had a talent. Mm-hmm. He made it rich. That was, you know, that was something that we never could have had no opportunity. But he came to us and offered us to be his investor the same way he came to you. And all you did was listen. That's all you did. We could have been you. So seeing you makes us jealous. We couldn't have been him. He had a brainstorm. But we could have been you because we could have listened. Says the Chofetz Chaim, what does it mean? Zekeinim Shabbos Sador said, Oilano lo sabusha, Oilano sechlima. He says the Pshat as follows. What was Yeshua's big thing? Lo yomush Yeshua mitoicha oil. Yeshua was there in the base medrash, listening, taking notes, writing stuff down. He was just soaking in his Rebbe's Torah. Yeshua is like the moon. What does the moon do? It says, Pnei Moshe kepnei chama. You know, Yeshua kepnei alevana. What does that mean? That means that Yeshua was a reflection of his Rebbe. So what did Yeshua do, Sach HaKol? He just listened. So the Kenim Shabbai Sador said, Oilanu lo sabusha, this could have been us, Yeshua. He wasn't any more talented than us. All he did was he listened. He sat there. He sat through it. He made sure that he kept everything that he listened to. By us, we heard Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, we were there, we weren't there. Because that could have been us. We miss out on opportunities. I heard once from Bezalel Rudinsky, Rashiv of Or Ruvain. He said, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky used to give a chumashir. In Muncie, four people came. Imagine, could you imagine if Rabbi Kamenetsky would come now today, wants to say a chumashir? Like, there wouldn't be a stadium big enough for the entire, right? He has a safe for him. It's Yaakov, sure, everyone's buying the safe for him. This and that. Yaakov Kamenetsky. But Bishas Maisa, it's like, you know, whatever. I heard from Shimon Schwab that when the Chofetz Chaim used to say Shal Shudas Torah, so the Olim used to walk out in the middle of Shal Shudas Torah. You walk out on the Chofetz Chaim? Are you insane? How could a person do that? Because, okay, you know, whatever. Not in the mood right now. You missed it. You had it right there. You haven't met a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim. I was once in Baltimore. Huge crowd. It's the Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, who's still alive. It was a couple of years ago. Still alive. And there was everyone standing around. You just have to say like one, like, you know, little kvetch of the Chofetz Chaim, and everyone's like, you know, imagine. Right? Shimon Schwab was one Shabbos by the Chofetz Chaim. Yeah. So many thousands of people know about that Shabbos, about what happened. And then with the Chofetz, he got so one Shabbos. Imagine you have an opportunity to go. So Shimon Schwab said he was there by a Shabbos by the Chofetz Chaim. The Olam walked out during Shal Shudas. See, he was Makabal on himself. If the Olam ever walks out on me and Shal Shudas, I'm not. If they could walk out on Chofetz Chaim, they could walk out on Shimon Schwab also. And they did. Because a lot of times we miss opportunities. We have opportunities here in our hands. You ever heard like a really good Vart, you really liked it, like this one? And you're like, wow, I love that Vart. I want to say it over. So you said it over on Shabbos. What about next year? What about next year? What about next year? Well, if you'd write it down, you'd have it for next year. And the year after that, and the year after that. And you got a Vart in your pocket. Every year comes Parshas Pinchas. I got a grand slam Vart right here. Right? But if you just like live the moment, it's like, wow, it was so inspiring. Okay. And you forgot it next year. It's like, then you come out with nothing. Yeshua, lo yomash mitzecha oyel, Yeshua was there. He took everything his Rebbe said, and he had a Messiah for Moshe Rabbeinu. That was Yeshua. Oy, when I was by Reb Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Schwab was such a special person. It was the last year of his life. And Reb Schwab used to tell over Shabbos by the Chofetz Chaim. Used to tell over the Bachar what happened Shabbos by the Chofetz Chaim. I was a Bachar at the time. And Schwab started out his speech and he said, boys, I spent Shabbos by the Chofetz Chaim. The entire Shabbos was lo me'al mahadein. Was not from this world. The entire Shabbos. But it was many, many years ago. Schwab was already an older man. And I forgot. I don't remember a lot of things that happened on Shabbos. Because I didn't write it down. I forgot. I remember some details, different things that happened. I said, you boys don't make my mistake. And everything I'm telling you now, I want you to write down. And as went over Shabbos, and he was telling us about when he came in on that Friday, and the Chofetz Chaim's son and son-in-law, and he said, I forgot. He was full of so much anguish and regret. They didn't write it down. Everybody said we spend time in yeshiva and we hear so much Torah, so many shmuzim, so many shiurim, so much stuff, and so much. And where's it going to go? If we don't write it down. Yeshua kept everything. He just a reflection of his Rebbe. So that's what it says. Zakenim Shabbos Yisador said, Oylan Eloi Sabusha. That could have been us. We were there with him. We could have done the same thing. We just didn't retain it. So Moshe Rabbeinu, as he's asking for Klal Yisrael to have a manhig, what does he say? He says, I need Klal Yisrael to have someone. Yifkod Hashem Elokei Aruchos L'chol Basar. He has to put an ish in charge. Asher yetzei lefneim, asher yovoi lefneim, asher yotziim, asher yeviim. V'lo'siya adas Hashem ketzoin asher ein lahem roya. What did Moshe Rabbeinu think? Klal Yisrael is not going to have someone who's going to be in charge? What is that? Is there ever such a thing as a nation without someone in charge? What was Moshe thinking? That they're just going to like drift? So, the Chassam Sofer, the son of the Chassam Sofer, says, for sure there was going to be someone who's going to be in charge. But a lot of times, when a person is in the position of leadership, so it's more about himself than it is about the people. And Moshe Rabbeinu was begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the manhig that's going to take charge of Klal Yisrael is going to be there for the people. The pasuk says, V'lo see Adas Hashem Kitzona She'ein Lahem Roya. It doesn't say She'ein Roya. Ein Lahem Roya is the pshat. He's not in it for them. Moshe Rabbeinu was totally in it for them. And the most stunning moment for me in Moshe Rabbeinu's being a manig is when Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, I'm sick and tired of these people. Something like that. I'm just going to wipe them out. Okay? And I'll start over again. Super nation, just your kids. Right? Egel Azav, it's like enough already. Forget it. It's just... Let's just start this over again or whatever. Let's be mitzamtem. You know what I mean? Well, it's just Moshe Rabbeinu, your kids. Moshe Rabbeinu says no, mecheni no mesifracha, which is, you know what? I'll take the hit. You leave them here. You can knock me out. Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't do anything wrong, right? And he's going to take the hit for Klal. He's going to, because Bohu's offering him just your kids. I'm going to save you. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what? Save all of them. And just like, mecheni no mesifracha. What does that mean? It's not about, Moshe Rabbeinu was not about him, Bechlau. He was there just for the people. But very often leaders, their position is just something that they want to have the power. Now a person who is there because he's really looking for the good of the people, then he understands that his purpose is not necessarily to make people happy, but his purpose is to do what's right for them. If a person just wants to be elected, so then what he has to do, he has to know what is going to be popular. He wants to be popular. Doesn't mean necessarily he's going to be a good leader, but that's popular. He doesn't necessarily care about what his core values are. He doesn't have core values. What does he care about? I got to figure out, what do the people want? Not what's good for them, but what do they want? Why? Because I need to be elected. And the problem that often we face in the world today with this new concept called democracy is that a person wants to be elected. What he wants to do is, I want to be just a question of what the people want to hear. Which means a leader is not really a person that has any opinions. He's just going to do his best to take a lot of polls of all the voters. What do they want? And that's what I'm going to passionately try to give over. And then I'll become elected president. So being that country is made up of 30% African American and 15% Latinos and 10% Mexicans. So we got over here a very large constituents that have a very, very limited education. Don't really care very much about how the economical well-being of the country. All they care about is what's going to work for them in the moment. They don't have a lot of them have been unemployed for the majority of their life, but they're going to vote me in. So what do? I just say what's popular, right? And the fact that the people that are actually, the ones that are working hard to build an infrastructure that's healthy for the government and for the economy, are saying that this is ludicrous, doesn't make a difference because I'm going to become president. So, for example, one of our more famous recent presidents by the name of Bill Clinton was president of America. So how did he get voted president? What he did was he had hundreds of people that went around taking polls in all over all the states. What do the people want to hear? And he just kept polling and polling and polling. And when you hear what people want to hear, then that's what he said. So in other words, Bill Clinton was not saying anything that meant anything to him. It's just, this is what the people want, so this is what I'm going to say. Now, Bill Clinton was a very intelligent person. He was a Rhodes scholar, Fulbright scholar. I don't remember. One of the Clintons is a Rhodes. The other one's a Fulbright. She's smarter than he is. But they both were like big scholars, big intelligent people. But it's irrelevant. It makes no difference. It's just a question of, I'm just trying to like tap into, what do you guys want over here? What are the people inner city? What are they interested in hearing? What's going to make them happy? So it's going to make them happy that there should be gay marriages? Gay marriages! I'm all for gay marriages. Why? Because that's going to get me voted in. So you have no core values. Nothing means anything to you. It's just a question of, you're trying to become president because it's all, I need to be president. It's not that I'm going to do anything for the people. I need to get into office. Okay, so that's what people are going to do. They'll make up, healthcare plans. They're like, okay, we have to make a nuclear deal with Iran. We must. Why? Because that's going to give me a legacy, because then it's about me, right? So this deadline, make a new deadline. Another deadline, we'll make another deadline. We got to do this. This has got to happen. What do you mean it's got to happen? But it's not good. Yeah, but then what did I do? Then what did I do in my presidency? I didn't do anything. So I need to become like, I have to make the legend of... But if you care about the people, you care about the future, so then a person has a whole different approach. Moshe Rabbeinu wants someone that is asher. The pasuk says, "Vaydaber Moshe Hashem, yifkor Hashem lakeruchis, ish asher yetze lefneihem, v'asher yavoi lefneihem, v'asher yotzim v'asher yaviim." Someone should be in front of them, which means a leader. A real leader. Someone that's saying, I know which direction we should be going. And a lot of people behind him might be questioning him. But he's smarter than all these people, that's like these minorities that don't have any education. Not because, not nothing to do with being racist. There's a lot of very intelligent blacks and Hispanics and all that. But there's a lot of uneducated. Most of them are uneducated. So you're looking for, what's popular, you're looking for what is uneducated. That's not going to be a wise decision. So a leader says, I'm not looking for what you have to say. I'm looking for what I know is good. I'm in the front. And I say, you follow me. But Chazal tell us that Pnei of the door of Mashiach is Kipnei Kelef. What does that mean, Kipnei Kelev? So Chazal say the following pshat. Dachsuch Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz says that if you ever watch a person walking a dog, who's in the front? The dog. But who's the one who's really in control? The person in the back. Because the dog is in the front and always watching in the back. Where am I supposed to go? So what happens at the time of Mashiach is you're going to have leaders. They're not really leaders. They're just looking behind. What are the other people saying? They stand in the front. Yeah. But those are the types of leaders that we're dealing with. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is asking me that. Moshe Rabbeinu is asking me, but by Klal Yisrael, it's not like that. Klal Yisrael has to have leaders that are going to do things that are not conventional, that are not like the popular opinion. But they're going to do what's right for Klal Yisrael. That is what a true manhig does. He does what's right, even if it's not popular opinion. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yeshua is the right person for that position. And we see this week's parasha speaks about Pinchas. Pinchas is a person that stood up for what was right, even though it wasn't popular at all. And Klal Yisrael has always had individuals over the course of history that stood up and said, even this is not popular, you're not going to like this, this is what has to be done. Okay, Rabbi Saviz Hashem, we should all like feel like the inspiration of this week's parasha, that we should try to utilize all of our special moments that we have over here in Yeshiva with all of the Torah that we're being exposed to be able to be kind to keep it for ourselves, that we should always never have a moment of regret for not utilizing all of the kirchas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us.